following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another edition from Radioland. It's the show that loves to cause trouble. Sitting there, you heard her. She's sitting here next to me, ladies and gentlemen. It's the lovely Dirty D, Diana Fryer. She's been on the show a couple of times already, a few times, and we're sitting down here in Studio C.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a beverage, something that is...
absolutely nasty, and I cannot believe you're drinking it. It tastes like ass.
Well, Joel brought it, and I have to be polite.
Look, God loved Joel. Do you really like it?
It's not bad. I actually got another glass of it. Silver Coyote Whiskey. It's clear. It's white whiskey. It's not racist. It's white whiskey. In other words, it doesn't have that ruddy brown color to it.
Yeah.
Because it didn't age it in anything.
They needed to do something with it.
It tastes like it hasn't been aged.
It tastes like I needed to lick the carpet to get it off my tongue.
It smells. It smells.
It smells.
And it tastes pretty good, actually. It's not bad. I mean, sniff test, not so much. Taste, not bad.
I feel like I want to strip wallpaper with it.
You probably could.
Mm. I'm still trying to get it off my tongue.
Want a beer?
No.
No, we've been talking about before we got started about some of the things that have transpired since we've been on. I mean, we're coming up on our first anniversary down here in the new place.
Absolutely.
And we're sneaking up on our fifth anniversary of the radio station, about 6 months away, I guess, or so. So 8 months away from that. The concept of it was April 1st. So,
yeah.
You know, there's my demise from terrestrial radio was at the end of February of 2011. So there's a lot to be said for that.
So, I mean, does it seem like that much time has gone by?
No, it doesn't really. It just seems like it was almost. It was weird because I was thinking the other day, if for some bizarre reason I found myself in that studio, I think I could be able to run that equipment fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very different than what we have here,
right?
And you know what they had over there was, it's not as sophisticated as what we have here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Really. Yeah, because they don't want the jocks in terrestrial radio to have that much control over what's going on.
Oh,
that's how that works.
I got you.
So they, you know, it's better to be, you know, dumb and kept in the dark about a lot of things than have too much knowledge.
Yeah,
because you know, knowledge is power.
Apparently so.
Well, it's very true.
But you realize something, right?
What?
We're doing it all wrong. Oh yeah, let me go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to sneak into that, but we're not.
No.
No. I got a call.
Oh, hold on.
I got a call the other night and from a guy I haven't talked to in a long, long time.
I
got my start in this business in radio in San Antonio, Texas. And... in and out. I've been in television. I went back to San Antonio. Long, long story. But at one point, I worked for a classic rock station down there. I don't even think it's on the air anymore.
And, oh, okay.
Yeah. And here's a funny aside. You'll get a kick out of this. The program director that I sort of worked with when I first started going in was a guy by the name of Bobby Slam Duncan.
Stop it.
I am not shitting you. It is that guy. The world's tallest DJ. This is Bobby Duncan, babe. Doing afternoons at this joint. He was a program director.
Okay.
Well, if you'll remember, those of you in Memphis will know exactly what I'm talking about. He came here.
Wait.
Yes, he was at 98.1
That's
The Max.
That's right. Yes. That is right.
WXMX. And he didn't last very long because he got his ass shown the door.
Why?
Well, it's not really good radio when a jock on one FM station talks bad about another station or a jock's on that other station on live radio.
Oh.
That's usually a bad PR move because what you're doing is you're telling your audience, check them out.
Yeah.
Suck so bad you should go listen to them.
Absolutely.
And he was kind of guilty of that. So they shown him the door.
Oh.
Yeah, Bobby Duncan. Yeah, he was here.
So you worked with him?
Kind of.
Okay.
After he had left San Antonio, I don't know where he went. There was another cat by the name of Loose Leaf I mean, these are cats that had, you had to have a stage name. You know.
Did they come with their own stage name?
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah, it was usually the PD or the owner of the station would say, okay, you got to have his name. You got to come up with a nickname. Here's our vibe. Here's the station vibe, and you got to have a name. Do you remember Froggy 94 here
in
Memphis?
Yeah, I do.
Because all the jocks had frog-like names.
Those poor cats.
Oh, horrible fucking radio. And I think at this particular station, they were kind of trying that out. And this was a time when their morning show was a married couple by the name of Winston and Alice.
Oh.
And Winston did probably one of the most remarkable live shots ever in the history of radio, and I witnessed it.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't in the room, but I did. I was in the studio. Winston got a vasectomy live on the air.
What?
Yeah. They didn't knock him out. They numbed him. And when they cauterized the parts.
So he had all his junk hanging out.
Yeah, pretty much. And his wife, Alice, was in there, and they had mics just like these. They had these little SM58s, and they're doing their thing, and he's laying on the table up in the stirrups, and he's got the headphones on, and he's got the mic going.
Stop it.
And he said, for the first time ever, of course, he couldn't feel a damn thing. That is up until something else happened. He said, for the first time ever in radio, not only is the guy getting a vasectomy, but I'm going to play the harmonica while it's happening. And he had a harmonica with him, and he cupped his hands around the mic, you know, and he started playing. And when they hit him with the cauterizer, he ground it out through the mic and the harmonica and burned his lips. It was hysterical.
Oh, my God.
He was screaming. And every time he screamed, his wife was howling with laughter.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you know that they're messing with your man's junk?
And she kept going, keep playing, keep playing. And he would do it, and they'd hit him with the cauterizer, and he would scream. It was big. Well, at that time, there was a cat that was working there. He's a few years younger than me.
Okay.
And he was, you know, like any other guy, he was part of what they call the B team. He was the guy that was, he would work weekends. He would pick up shifts. He was like kind of the swing cat, right?
I gotcha.
And he was of the mindset that everything in radio revolved around him.
Imagine that.
At that time.
Okay. All right.
And then, you know, he had his, you know, his time where people sat him down and said, shut up.
Okay.
Do what you're supposed to do and everything will be groovy. A long, long story short, the way he explained it to me over the phone was that he is no longer in the industry. What had happened was...
You see, what had happened was...
They fired his ass.
Once upon a time, I ate your cat.
He wasn't doing his fucking job. It's not the end of the world. If the program director comes into the studio and says, okay, look, here's my thing. We've got this little this card that we're reading right now. I don't need you to say this, that, or the other. I need you to stick, you know, straight to the notes.
Okay.
Stay away from the Diamond Dog record from David Bowie. I want you to play something else. You know, it was that kind of stuff.
Right.
And this guy felt that everything about he felt, even though he was B-team, that the only reason why people were listening to that station was because of his dumbass.
Mm.
It was one of those deals.
Mm.
So he calls me. Like last night. I mean, this is a week ago last night. This is a week old.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, buddy, how's it going? How's it going? Well, man, hey, you know, I found you. I searched your name, and wow, you came up. And I didn't realize you were still using that stage name.
That is your name.
I said that is my government name, you hump. You know, and he goes, well, you know, hey. So he's got that real smarmy used car salesman vibe about him. One of those snaps with the two fingers and points.
Is he that guy?
Yeah, he's that guy with his hair. Guy who used a lot of product in his hair. You know, he was actually like a blonde, but he had so much product and it looked brown. You know, and when he shook his head, with dandruff would come out. You know, it was like, hey, babe.
Because he probably used Rave. Rave does that.
Yeah, that's. I'm sure that's exactly what it was. Mm. So he's like, man, I was looking you up, and I was checking out Radio Memphis, and man, you know, that's a pretty groovy station. So he did the old sandwich, the middle management sandwich routine. Have you ever heard that?
Uh-uh.
The middle management sandwich routine is this: good news, bad news, good news. from top to bottom.
Oh, okay. So we're going to smash the bad news in the middle of the good news.
Right.
And then it doesn't, you don't notice.
That's right. Well, it softens the impact of it.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, you know, you go to your doctor and they say, wow, you know, your blood pressure is looking really good. That's good because we're going to need that when we fight the cancer that we're having to deal with.
But your cancer's good.
You know, it's like that, you know. But in middle management, it's like, you know, listen, I really like the fact that you show up on time. But there's always the but or however.
Right.
Then there's like, you know, but what you're doing on the air is really not cool. You know, that kind of thing.
All right.
So he tries that shit with me.
What is he say? Okay.
Let me be clear now. He is no longer in the business, has not been in the business for quite some time.
Okay.
And he is now in the insurance sales business. So he works for like Nationwide or some shit. And
okay. So he's calling up.
You calling me because he was thinking, I wonder what Rick's doing these days. You know, he got lonely, got drunk, sitting around his computer, and he's like, I'm looking up old friends. We've all done it.
Mm-hmm.
And found me.
All right. So apparently, not only did he find you, he actually did some research, which hence led to said phone call.
Yeah, about 2.5 hours on my phone.
You were on the phone for a while, man.
I was on the phone for a lot because he's one of those cats where you're trying to be polite and go, look, I've really got to go. And it's like, well, hey, one more thing, and I'll let you go. One more thing, and I'll let you go. So I'm trying to be nice about it.
So ultimately?
Ultimately, he's telling me that he'd been checking out the radio station. And of course, he does the middle management sandwich routine. And he says, man, I really dig the station. It's really cool. But I have some ideas. I have some advice for you.
Advice?
He has some advice.
All right, so the B team is going to come in with some advice.
And I'm like, I'm sitting there in my head, and in the back of my mind, you know that little voice back there, your conscience is going, well, this ought to be good. Instead of saying, shut the fuck up, as I usually hear in the back of my head, I heard, well, this ought to be good.
You're curious.
I'm curious. I'm interested. So he proceeds to tell me how almost everything we're doing at Radio Memphis is wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. That it's not good radio, and that it's not indicative of listening styles and what people want to hear in this modern day and age of internet radio.
So, Rick, what does everybody want to hear?
They apparently want to hear Taylor Swift. No. And a lot of it.
Come on. Kudos to her for being who she is and rocking the planet and all that other
stuff.
Well,
okay. Well, and to be fair, she comes into this story in a very honest manner.
Okay.
Very recently, she very famously pulled her stuff off of Spotify.
Yeah, she did.
Okay. And for good reason.
Absolutely.
She's not making that much money off of those streams. Mm-hmm. She's not developing that much of a new audience.
Mm-hmm.
She still is holding to the paradigms of FM radio through the top 40 stations, you know, mm-hmm. which is great as long as it lasts. You ride that rocket as far as you can go with it.
Absolutely.
So, and her job is to sell tickets.
Yep.
Not records, tickets.
Yep.
She sells an album for $9.99. She gets about $1. That tells you how much money she makes, how many records she sells.
Yes.
That's great. So she tells Spotify, Fungu, I'm taking my shit out of here.
Yep.
Spotify says, okay, we hate to see you go, so good luck to you. So they turn around to their programmers and they say, I want you to find every indie cover band you know that can sing like Taylor Swift and do her music.
What?
They bring them into the studios. They do Taylor Swift songs. So when the casual home listener is looking to hear Taylor Swift on their Spotify, they're not hearing Taylor Swift. They're hearing a cover band.
Yeah, but don't they get hit up for, you know, being able to use that music?
Sure, it's cheaper than performance royalty.
Oh.
They're paying publishing royalty. Whole big difference.
Oh.
Whole big difference.
Okay. All right, so
So
it was suggested to you
by Dickless that I should be doing the very same thing.
Okay.
That he said, well, Memphis is a music town. And I said, yeah, it is. There's a lot of bands here. He goes, there are a lot of cover bands. I said, yeah, there's a shitload of them. It's like any other city. That's how they make their money.
Yep.
And I get it. You got bands like Twin Soul, who are very, very talented mm-hmm. musicians. Scott Sudbury is another cat.
Yep.
Very, very talented guys. And I sit there and I watch them perform and I go, man, I wish you guys would just, you know, sit down and write. You guys have it, you know, mm-hmm. but they're doing what they need to
do. Well, another, you know, another prime example and stuff, you know, the Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you're talking, you know, John Roth, you know, Corey Myers, of course, I do Fifth Kind and stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're with major, John Roth, major national bands. But when it comes to time to, you know, pay the bills and play some music.
Here's some Bon Jovi, bitch.
I'm going to tell you what. And they do a fantastic job with it. You know, I get it.
This guy's suggesting that we, since I'm like, look, I'm not going to get into playing Bob Dylan records or anything like that, or, you know, Boston or Zeppelin or Rolling Stones. I mean, I can go anywhere to get that. And I went through the whole argument with him.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole thing was, well, we need to go ahead and find bands that do a fair job of that and then put those on there. So when people request, when people call and request the Rolling Stones, you'll be able to play Honky Tonk Women. And I'm like, do you understand how ridiculous you sound by that very statement? First of all, you're asking for, you got a guy calling in, he wants to hear the Rolling Stones.
Yep.
All right. Now, he's not going to get the Rolling Stones. He's going to get, you know.
Said band,
Meat Sack, doing their version of Honky Tonk Women. And when they hear that, they're going to go, okay, well, that's kind of groovy. I can deal with it.
But at the same time, they're going to feel let down.
Because it's A, not the Rolling Stones. And that's a completely different version of Honky Tonk Women.
Absolutely.
Now, with great exception, and I had to, this was a weird line I had to walk. It took me 30 minutes to explain this to fuckhead.
Okay.
We do have cover songs in our library here. We really do. But it's one local act covering another local act. And it's different. And these are both, Mexican Radio from, not Josephus, Joey.
Killingsworth.
Yeah, Joey Killingsworth. What's the band? El Dorado is in it.
Black Oak.
No. The one that you like so much. Super Witch.
Oh, Super. I'm like, two words. Yeah. Sounds like.
It sounds
oh,
like.
My God.
Mexican Radio?
Yes.
Is actually a cover of another Memphis band's tune from like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
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 It's an old song. But it's like Tastes Like a Milkshake from the Secret Service was also done by a local act. That's different. Okay, that's not like it's not like Joey Killingsworth covering a Motorhead tune.
Right.
Okay. Having said that, in our out rotation folder, we have a copy of the Subteens doing a Billy Joel tune.
Yes, we do.
But I use that by example. We have the Gamble Brothers doing Love Is Alive from Gary Wright.
Mm-hmm.
I use that by example. It rarely gets played, and nobody ever requests it because they want to hear the new stuff. So when... And part of my conversation with Knuckle Nuts was that you hear the argument from terrestrial radio all the time that the number one source for the discovery of new music is FM radio. They will say that till they are dead and buried. The number one source for the discovery of new music is FM radio. That's what they're saying.
Okay. Imagine that.
Well, spend a moment going up and down the dial on any FM radio.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what city you live in, what country you live in, you're going to find, on average, in every city, about 30 stations, if you're a sizable market.
Sure.
We're in they're ranked 1 to 215 in the United States.
Right.
Memphis sits about 41, 42. Okay? We have 35 stations here. We have two top 40 stations.
Mm-hmm.
And we have roughly three top urban stations. You know, like K97 and those cats.
Right.
So that's the only new music that's being released is through there. So what I mean by top 40 is you're getting the Britney Spears shit. You're getting the Justin Bieber. You're getting that kind of stuff.
Right.
But to get new rock, it's not happening. New blues is not happening. New country, maybe at one of the quote unquote country stations, but they're going through right now an awesome kick in the balls because their fans are starting to turn against them.
Yeah.
In a roundabout way. Because a lot of that is pop. Those lines have been crossed. So when you really look at the discovery of new music, it is not happening in terrestrial radio.
No, it's not. And you know, look.
It's Pandora, Spotify, it's us, it's
all of those
YouTube.
Things. You know, and
YouTube.
And, you and I've talked about it, you know, for quite some time, and you know, anybody that's ever tuned in or listened to me kind of, you know, rant and rave about a couple of things, and I'm gonna say it so many times that, you know, there's pieces of history that do repeat itself. And I was just telling you this, was it last night or might even been today? We were talking about like what the labels were doing and what, you know, what all the stuff that is happening right now, it feels like the wild, wild west, you know, with music industry. But, you know, this
last night we had this conversation. Yes.
And it's the same. It's the same idea. You know, we're talking, I think, late 70s, early 80s, you know, kind of going, you know, going into the 80s and stuff. All of those guys and all the people that you consider big players now were doing exactly what we are doing right now.
Oh, yeah.
They were the independents. They were, yeah, look, I like these 12 bands, and, you know, we're gonna put them all on a compilation CD, and we're gonna, you know, I'm gonna push them, I'm gonna market them, I'm gonna get them out there, I'm gonna shove it down people's throats, and something's gonna happen. I don't know, something like Rat, something like, you know, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, you know, and a couple of those all showed up, you know, Brian Slagle, Metal Blade, you know. It's what he did.
Right,
you know,
right, you know, right, right.
You got old boy from Cleopatra Records. You know, got his start with what? Bumper stickers. Playing with bumper stickers.
Wait a minute, D. How could playing with bumper stickers be viable for any type of business?
I don't know, but that's all I do.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to do since we don't have any stickers.
But, you know, it may
be right. Sorry, personal problems. We're working that out.
We're trying to work this all out, man. We're holding
we're
together.
We're too busy playing new music to get into bumper stickers. See, that's
we just can't get into that right now.
We're busy. We're too busy for all of that. Yeah, yeah.
But the things that are happening right now, you know, everybody's got their hands in an uproar. Everybody is trying to figure out how to market. Everybody's trying, not even that. Everybody is trying to figure out how to get their hands on pieces of pie. You know, when they hadn't even baked shit yet.
Pie. You know? Well, you know, and you're right. Not only is this the Wild West, it's never really, in my estimation of it, I don't think it's going to change. I think what we have right now as far as social media and far as internet and far as internet streaming and how entertainment is now falling into the internet.
Yes.
Which is exactly how, it's the best way to describe it. They're all falling into it.
Yeah, they're cave. I mean, it's like waterfall, cave,
and
earthquake,
everybody's
split.
Trying to figure out their little piece of land to stand on in the midst of this enormous ocean of data. With that being said, I don't think we're ever going to see, and I hope I'm right, I don't think we're ever going to see a hard set, fast set of rules that we have to follow. There's always going to be the unwritten rules, you know, of any type of thing in show business. You know, it's you still got to work your ass off. You still and probably more so.
You have
to constantly promote. You got to constantly get your stuff out there.
I totally agree with that. You know, and I personally think it sounds kind of messed up.
But I think it's a world that money doesn't rule.
No, money does not rule. And that's what's so cool about it. You know, and everybody, you know, everybody's gotten this hard, you know, fail safe. And I say this all the time. And every time it comes out of my mouth, you know, I feel like I'm stabbing myself in the back, you know, because of what we do and what we represent. But, you know, the way that things are now and everybody's like, well, it just, you know, it means like all these people have to do it and all these people get a chance and all that. Yeah, you're right. You know what? It's going to take you that much more to stand that much more out.
Yeah, it's called a level playing field.
You know, you're going to have to really actually bring it. Nobody is going to hand it to you.
Oh, God, no.
You know, and the only precursor to everything that we've got going on, and you know, all the availabilities for people to be able to do stuff at home and people to do recordings and things like that, is that there's a lot of people that don't realize and don't pay attention to the fact that they need to make certain things happen for themselves.
Right.
You know, everybody's got this, they still, it's funny, we talk to a shitload of bands. We have a bunch of people that send their stuff in. And, you know, and the thing about it is that when they send this stuff in and when they do this, they think, okay, it's in your hands. You guys are going to make this magical thing happen, and somebody's going to show up in this white chariot, and they're going to hand me this contract, and all I'm going to have to do is just be this musician, and you're going to pay for it. That's my other thing.
Here's my other thing.
The other thing with me, and you know, and it always sounds, everybody's got this bad taste in their mouth about, you know, management and labels and things like that, it's almost like I don't want to sound like I'm like defending one side or the other, but here's my thing though. I understand that you know that we do stuff, we create stuff, we create content, you know what I mean? But here's the thing. If I don't have the contacts and I don't have where to put this stuff and to get it out, all right, I just created some stuff. That's cool.
Right.
But, you know, I go to you and you give me all this money and you put me on all these places, and you put me on all these platforms, and you pay for this recording engineer, and you pay for all of this, so that when it comes time and that stuff sells, and you get mad because you don't get 100% of it, what the, what, God, dude?
Right, right.
That doesn't work like that.
Have you ever been in the presence of Brad Dunn when he talks about, Brad from American Studios?
Yeah.
When he's with the band and they're going through their mix out,
mm-hmm.
and they've put this thing together and it's the final touches, and these kids are so excited because
sure
they've got this thing that they've invested money into. They've got it. It's their first record. They've worked together as a band. They've managed to get through the process without killing each other.
Yeah.
They're all happy with it. And they get the disc in their hands, and they take it over to a mastering studio, and it gets mastered, and they bring it back because they're proud. They want to show, you know, the printed copy off back to Brad and the kids over at American. And he said during the entire conversation, they're all looking at their phones.
Oh, absolutely.
Expecting them to. They're literally looking at their phones. We've seen that happen here
mm-hmm.
when people bring in their records down mm-hmm. here and we play for the first time. Their phones, they're just looking at their phones. They're expecting, you know, somebody from Sony to call them.
I know. I know. Like, with a magical contract.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's supposed to just, you know, like, you know, it's like Lucky Charms, man. You know,
no.
Yeah, the Shamrock shows up and, you know, grants a wish. No.
No. And,
it doesn't work like that.
That's when Brad, I love him to death because he's so much like his uncle.
Oh, my God.
He's so much like Doug.
He looks exactly like his uncle.
Yes, he does.
And that's what's so scary.
It's creepy. More on that later. Mm-hmm. Not in this episode. there's this thing, and Brad goes, y'all got your record, and y'all got it all printed up and nice and pretty, nice package, and now you get to do what everybody else is doing. And all these kids go, what? And they all get wide-eyed, and he goes, you get to sell it out of the back of your fucking car for the next 5 years.
Well, you know, it's,
that's what you do.
And you work it, and you put things out for it. Now, you know, kind of going back to, you know, the whole idea of, like, you know, having everybody else pay for it, and then you're supposed to reap all the reward and all the money. I mean, the flip side of it, you know, the wild, wild west, you know, I personally think that we have an opportunity, and this is the biggest thing. It's the biggest thorn in my ass. It's the thing that I always keep in my mind, you know, and maybe it's the Buddhist in me and, you know, or whatever, but it good business. You know, it's now to the point where, you know, there's so much crap. There's so much craziness. There's so much evil. There's so much bullshit that, you know, in order to stand out, in order to be tried and true, you are going to have to go back to the ideas of doing good business.
Oh, and, what, being honest?
And being, you know, somewhat honest, yes.
It's almost impossible to lie in this day and age, too. You know that.
You can't.
You can't do it.
No.
Because you're going to get found out. Yeah.
I mean, you know, and you know, your relationship, your reputation, you know this, the survival of your companies are going to depend on the relationships that you make with the other people within your, you know, within your world. And that's just the way it's going to be. You know, it's going
right.
to go, it's going to go back to, you know, radio stations, which are going to be all online. And I've said it before, you've said it before, we'll say it again. It's on the internet now. Okay, when you stop
all fight, of it is. It's already there. Yeah.
When you stop fighting it, for the rest of you who are straggling and not wanting to, you know, jump in on this whole idea, you know, come on, let's go. Guess what? Because this is where it's at.
Sure.
You know, but once, you know, once everybody, you know, gets that whole idea, is, you know, the, you know, radio stations are going to be working with management groups and working with labels and stuff and things like that for releases or whatever the case may be. You know,
well, that shit hadn't changed in 60 years.
The way the then business is going to change.
Well, yeah, but there's always been that relationship between. Well, let me break it down this way. Sun Records had a deal with WHBQ in Memphis.
Oh, well, that's what
to
I'm
get
talking,
Elvis
that's,
out.
Right. But
because they were their own
back.
Distribution.
No,
yeah.
You just said it. We're going back to that idea where we've just knocked out.
With some differences, like what you said.
We're knocking out 10 middlemen. We're going back. That's my point. That's the part of history where. Why is the label going to talk to blah, 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 ex-management? In other words, I'm going to send you a note. We're in class. We got 20 people in between me
right,
and you.
Right.
It's going to take 20 people for me to get my note to you. Well, you know what? Guess what we're going to do? We're going to, next time we show up at class, we're going to sit in chairs and desks right next to each other. So you know what? All I got to do is pass from me to you.
Right. And it's, you know, and I do believe, hopefully, and this may be a bit of a pipe dream, but I'm hopefully seeing that with the transition to all of entertainment and content moving down to the web,
sure,
that it'll be the end of payola.
Yes.
I do hope that is the case. I have personal issues with it. It is completely legal for us in the internet world to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
We can take things for free. Just because we are who we are.
Sure.
In terrestrial, you can't do that. That's a federal offense. I know of one disc jockey that did 5 years in a federal penitentiary as a result of that.
Oh, wow.
And you know him, too, and I am not in a position to name his name right now.
Oh, you said, really? You're going to tell me when we get off air?
I'll tell you when we're done.
All right.
Did 5 years for, and it was payola tied to manipulation of Arbitron ratings.
I know this person.
You know him. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever met him, but you'll when I mention the name to you, you'll go, "Are you fucking kidding me?" It'll be one of those deals.
Oh, I am.
And is probably one of the nicest guys on the planet. And here's the thing, you know, we're talking about the manipulation of Arbitron ratings. It's when he went on the air and he told people how to fill out the diaries.
No.
And the FCC jumped him. And this was a long time ago. This was a very long time ago. And here in the internet, the Wild West, it's legal here. But I don't condone it because I don't want to have a radio station that sounds like shit because I've got a bunch of lesser bands with a lot of money that are outclassing the good bands with no money.
Yes.
That's the backbone of Radio Memphis. And that's the way we've always believed it.
Well, that, you know, I mean, yeah, quality.
We run a transparent company, for God's sake.
I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. And nothing needs to change from that.
We see these kids that come into this facility. We're here in the tracking room floor, Studio C. We see these kids that come down here and they look around. And have you ever really paid attention to the look on their face?
Oh yeah, man, it's magical.
And they're like looking at the ceiling and the track lighting, and they go, "Wow."
I mean, it's a good thing that we don't tell the majority of them that Charlie Rich hangs out.
Right. Well, yeah. They go, "Charlie who?"
I know, right?
But. They get wide eyed and they're new to the business. They've got that let's roll up my sleeves and get to work mentality.
Yep.
And they're ready to jump into it. And we're like, look, we're building this fantastic facility right now. We're almost finished with it. Probably within about the next month, we mm-hmm. should be fully operational here.
Feel like the Death Star. We'll be completely operational.
Just a matter of now of turning our planet into dust. The idea of watching these musicians, they go, oh man, this is going to be big. Let us know when it's ready. Yeah. And then you got seasoned guys that have been around a long, long time, and they come in and they have that same look. And you, I watched an 87-year-old man down here, Leo Bud Welch, one of the greatest guys. You need to meet him. He's a great guy, and he still tours the Chitlin circuit.
Okay.
His whole mission now is to put blues in schools.
Oh, nice.
And he came in here with an electric guitar with a Marshall stack and a pink guitar because his wife had died of breast cancer 40 years ago, and he still carries that torch. It's a sweet story.
Oh.
And we were telling him about recording down here, and he looked like a teenager again. I mean, his eyes got real wide, and he's like, "Are you shitting me?"
Yeah.
I'm like, "No, we don't shit." And, you know, we're here. We built this for you guys. Our benefit comes from your, you know, being able to display the fruits of your labor.
Absolutely.
And in return, you got people that are listening to this that can go, "Where can I find that?"
Mm-hmm.
So we say, "Yeah, okay, there's iTunes, there's TuneCore, there's Reverb Nation, blah, blah, blah." What's your website?
Yeah, we want to direct them to your website, to you.
Start there first. I mean, you're always going to get the iTunes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you want 100% of your sales? Go through there. Which reminds me, I know of a company, Brad and I had this interesting conversation last night as well.
Okay.
About a certain company. I gotta do this very carefully.
Don't mess up.
I'm not. There's a company that we know, that you and I both know of, that has been involved in the music industry for probably the better part of 65 years.
Okay.
And they've gone through some changes, they're going through some upheaval, and they're the thing that's going to save them now is the production of cooking shows.
I have no clue where you're going with this.
What it is that you have a... it's like this.
Can you write it on a card?
I don't know, if I had a pen, I would. There's... We have somebody that works for us that used to work for them. They have gone... They have found a way to try and stay somewhat viable, right?
Okay.
By transitioning from the music industry into the creation of a different type of content. So they feel that this is not a joke. When I write this word down, you're going to shit when you see this.
Write the word. I just want to see it.
When they're talking, and this is what Brad was telling me. He says, I was in this meeting with him talking about some other stuff, you know, some label stuff. And next thing you know, he's like, well, you know, I found my way out of my problem after all of my restructuring. And it's going to be the production of television cooking shows. And it's like, well, Brad was like, eh. I don't know if I have the heart to tell them that the Food Network is kind of a dead channel these days because, you know, the...
Well, even if it's not, but it's covered.
Yeah, kind of. It's you know, I can see where it's...
Shut up!
I just showed her the pic. Yes. That's what they're doing now. They're getting away from music and they're getting into
that.
I am not shitting you. Call Brad.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious because when they went through their whole restructuring, I mean there was a staff. This is a sizable company, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't want to. I wish I could mention the name, but I can't because it's. Even if it were public, it would still be sort of a. It's your reaction across the. That's an atomic bomb that is like. Are you ready to? That's like, are you ready to give the middle finger to everybody you've ever worked with over the past 65 years?
Oh.
Including the old man that started it?
But see here, okay, look.
And there's a great-grandson that's involved in this. It's about, he's like, yeah, daddy, I think this is what we're going to do. Show business is tough. It's always been tough.
It's going to be.
It's never going to be any easier than what it is now.
No.
This is it. Your easy days ended when Buddy Holly died in a plane crash. That's when it ended. Because anybody with a guitar and a decent voice and be able to write something and put it to music, there were rock stars. Buddy Holly dies. Everybody freaks out. There was a few more artists that came in. Rock and roll becomes a real solid, stable thing. And then it got flooded.
Right.
It wasn't until Nirvana knocked Michael Jackson off the top 40 when rock and roll came back.
Yep.
And then it went away in the 90s. And then it really had found its footing in independent music.
It's coming back. It's back.
Well, it is back.
It's back.
It's just found a new home.
Right.
But when you have companies like
I can't even believe that name is on that piece of paper.
Yeah, when you talk to Brad and
oh, I'm calling Brad.
Yeah, I think as soon as we're done with this because to hear it in the perspective of the way he told it because he was in Dude's office and he's like, yeah, we have to do some restructuring and we're going to do this and we're going to, you know, we've had to let go X number of people. We've taken away insurance from these other people and this is a small company that has like a staff of maybe 20, 25 people.
Right.
They cut that in half, cut the insurance out, saved the family members, kept them going. Now they're like,
I'm having
they're renting out space to other businesses inside their house.
I'm having to, you know, bite my tongue for 2 seconds because
it's a process. Well, it's fucked up is what
well,
it is.
Well, I mean, because if you say one or you know, and I have this whole thing that I want to throw out there, but I might have to save it when we don't have these microphones in front of us because,
Well, and that's why I spared you from this until now because I wanted your reaction on that because that I didn't want to tell you about that last night because I think if I had told you last night, I think your immediate reaction would be, oh, my fucking God, I've got to call somebody. But I wanted you to be able to hear it. I wasn't doing this to be nefarious by any means to this show, but I wanted you to be able to hear that in the context of how bad it is for the music industry on that level. When you're talking about the ability of going into anybody can go into a studio with a guitar and a song.
Right.
And a couple of guys that know how to play some instruments and make a decent record.
Right.
And they can bring it to places like Radio Memphis and get it on the air. And we can help get that to 147 plus countries
right.
around the world. We can put it into the faces of nearly, you know, God, we're near 400,000 listeners. I mean, it's remarkable the things that we're doing.
And that's without a staff, that's without producers, and that's without a marketing team. That's
done over 4 years.
Yeah.
And in the grand scheme of things, is nothing. But when you look at that and you see, I can say this, there's a band that I have worked with very closely. I was involved very almost intimately.
No, you can't, because I already know where you're going with
it.
Well,
I'm not going to mention them. Intimately okay. with the recording process,
yes.
with Brad over at American.
Yes.
And watch this record come together. And it was just a wonderful experience. And I'm eternally grateful for being allowed to witness that.
Sure.
And to watch how once that record was done and watch what deal was transpired as a result of that through this.
Mm-hmm.
And to see how even that wasn't enough, that it's now I have to just cut my staff in half, and then I've got to take away the insurance from the rest of them, and then the only other way out is to start the production of television cooking.
Man, that's look.
The color drained. I felt the color draining out of my face when I was told this because it's...
Yeah, well, I'm...
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, my damn.
And I know this is unfair for everybody's listening because they're screaming. They're screaming at their device, going, "Tell us who it is." I can't. It would be entirely unfair. Perhaps very very soon I might be able to mention it, but he probably wouldn't give a shit because he mentioned it to Brad. But I'm not going to do it. I just don't think
don't
it would
do
be
it.
Fair. It's just not fair because mm-mm. How do you go from
because
I don't know, show business is show business, right? Is it
no.
Well, what's a cooking show versus a rock album? It's the same fucking thing. You're still
no, it's
producing
not.
Something. Yeah, you're still producing
but
something.
That's okay, whatever.
But it's a different audience. That argument can be made.
I understand that, but you know what?
All right, you got a guy who's playing his mean blues lick with a slide, and then you got this lovely girl with big tits and a pretty smile that can make some pasta.
Yeah, I understand that.
And it sells.
But.
And then there's books versus albums.
I can't say it without. I can't say it.
I know.
I can't say it.
Books versus albums, honey, because that's where
but
it's
you
at.
Know what I'm going to say, though. Just. All right, look.
This is the history of rock and roll that's happening now, and that's what it's turned into.
Oh, my God!
I know, right? Think about it. I'm going to step over to the fridge.
I can't. No!
Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. I'm trying to compose myself. I can't decide if it was, you know, that, you know, Silver Wild, whatever, Buck Coyote drink or...
Silver Coyote.
That okay. That's
from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Brand new sponsors of the podcast here from Radio Mountain. Don't drink it. It's shit. They didn't write me a check.
No. Okay.
You want me to stop saying it? You can write me a check.
No, we could do that.
But no, I mean, you're seeing what is happening here because I can see where this company is saying, you know. I've had it with the production of music. I've had it because here's the thing. There's a facility that exists somewhere that is filled with merchandise that cannot be moved because somebody has said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm done with the pushing of records and T-shirts and contracts and artists when I can produce content that may be viable because content being king, Bill Gates famously said, it still puts you in a position that if you're not there, whether you're producing or whether you're distributing or whether you're selling or whether you're promoting or whether you're pushing, it doesn't really matter. It's still the bottom line. What is it that you have that's worth something?
I get it. But at the same time, you know,
you're talking about a company that has sailed the seas under so many different flags that has been the backbone of rock and roll music.
You're
for
gonna,
so
you're gonna
many
just,
years,
you're,
I'm dancing as close as I can.
I know, and that's why I can't even talk. That's the thing, though, you know.
So when you talk to your people at Metal Blade,
mm-hmm.
The other companies that you, the other produce, production companies, who else that you deal with? You deal with a lot because of the metal show and
right.
around the world.
I mean, I do stuff as far as the Metal Blade. I do stuff with the Eclipse Records. I do stuff with a couple other deals and a couple mm-hmm. other. Actually, I do a lot of stuff with a lot of different publicists and a lot of promo companies.
Okay, perfect. So when you're talking about publicists and production companies and promotion groups, knowing this information that I just laid into your lap,
I don't know what I'm.
It doesn't make you not trust the people that you're dealing with. It's like you have to look at them in a different light in the fact that all of the sudden your world has changed with this knowledge, as has theirs.
Yeah.
We're just not in the business of just providing rock and roll and country and blues.
Oh,
and
my world's here.
But we're also in the business
shocked.
Of producing
I'm,
a what?
I'm very shocked. I'm almost kind of upset with that whole idea, but at the same time, I'm happy as hell. And I can't even tell you that until we
I can see that. I can see why you'd be happy.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with that. It has something to do we're supposed to do this podcast and stuff where we could talk. I can't even say
I don't go into this prepped. You know that.
I can't even say anything. So this is why are you doing that?
Because I could have just handed you that instead of made you go look for a pen. But it's a thought. It's strange. We've talked about this earlier in this particular episode, that the relationships between various companies associated with the music industry, mostly in production, and publication. Those two branches. They're not necessarily arm in arm. In fact, they almost kind of fight against each other in a weird sort of way. And here we are in radio. So you've got production and publication, and then you got radio that's kind of mm-hmm. over here. And it's like, well, everybody wants to go deal with a radio station at one point, but no one really wants to approach that. It's like there's an ogre in the room, and
well,
he's
you know,
the guy that we got
to
deal with.
But here's the thing, though, is that you're going to have to in order to make these things work. And this is the part that I keep going back to. You know, and it's always been said to me, you know, I have a friend. It's always said that you don't have to think outside the box.
Oh, no, God, no. You're committing suicide if you do.
Everything that you need to make these things work are there. You know, the things that need to happen are there. You know, why companies fail? You know, everybody's going to sit there and say, well, you know, because of this and because of the
greed,
because of the technology and because I don't have time, you know, and because I've got to have five cars and I got to pay for my wife's three babysitters, you know, for our three different kids and stuff like so she can go play tennis, or I've got to, you know, whatever, you know, everything that you could ever need within companies. I don't care what it is you do. I don't care whether it be radio, whether it be recording, whether it be, you know, producing, whatever. Everything you need is already laid out in front of you. And if you go back to the ideas of what used to work and the fact that people had more than one fucking job, you know, and actually pulled it in all together and made those things happen. And the second part is those relationships. You in it of itself cannot exist and just... Love me, I opened up a store, and because...
Love me!
You know, yeah. I am wonderful, therefore you must pay me. Why? Because I'm worth it. How do you even justify what the hell you're worth? You know what I mean? But now you sit there and you spend time on enriching relationships, enriching other people's lives, working on certain things. All of that other stuff does fall in place. I mean, oh, it sounds like a Hallmark card, sounds like a fucking TLC movie. I get it. You know what, though? There's part of that is true, you know? And when people get so narrow-sighted and people get so into the tunnel, and I have to pull myself out, you know, I have to beat myself across the head and go, all right, come on, you know, come on, get out of the hole, I, television, you know, running through the woods, you know, see it, you know, and it requires to know that in order for me to do what I need to do, I need to make relationships with bands. In order for said company to get some promotion and stuff, they've got to make a relationship with me. Well, I know that if I make a relationship with them, we actually have some stuff in common because dude knows some graphic dude. I'm going to make a relationship, and it goes on and
well,
on.
No,
and on.
Well, yeah, it's the handshake network is really what it boils down to. It's like, you know, you as a general manager of a radio station can make a relationship with a band, make a relationship with their publicist,
yep.
making a relationship with their production company,
yep.
and then turn it around and find a product that wants to come on, and be a part of that,
yep.
Through sponsorship and endorsements, and all of a sudden everybody's kind of working on the same thing, and all of a sudden you have this little wheel that's turning, and everybody gets to stick their finger in the pie.
It's one huge company. It's just five different quadrants of it. I mean, and that's the way that works.
Sure.
Everybody
gets to wet their beak without going, give me more.
You get to
what killed the record industry up until 5 years ago.
Opportunity though does lend itself though for things to actually work and be put in place. One of the biggest arguments with artists and bands and things like that is they feel like that they're going to have a piece of their creative control or a piece of their whatever taken away from them if they're not part of that actual process in the very beginning.
It doesn't work that way.
It does not work that way. Number one. Number two is that if you're going to make sure that you have your vision and you're going to make sure that you're going to have everything that you've worked for and what you stand for intact, what are you going to do? You're going to market yourself. You're going to work for yourself. You're going to book your own shows. You're going to pay for your own recording. You're going to make it.
Do you remember the film That Thing You Do?
Yes.
One of my favorite scenes in that film is near toward the end in the studio, mm-hmm. the Discmaster Studios, when the drummer is there with Wolfman, their new bass player.
Sure.
And Jimmy comes in and he's pitching a fit with Tom Hanks. And Hanks goes, Jimmy says, we're not going to record any songs but the ones I write. And Hanks says, no. You did not read the contract that you yourself signed, which said that you get one cut on each side of the LP. I don't want any of this lover's lament crap. We're going to pay for this, and you're going to do what we tell you to do. I want something good, and I want something snappy. And Jimmy quits, and all of a sudden the band's gone. It's the end of the one-hit wonder. Those days do not exist anymore.
No.
And I think a lot of bands feel that it does. And I think they become afraid of that. And so when they reach into their indie pocket and go, well, I don't know if I really want to go that route. Well, you look at bands like Lucero.
Mm-hmm.
North Mississippi All-Stars is a prime example of that. I know they're signed on with a minor label,
mm-hmm.
but they're an enormous band.
But see, here's the thing. Great examples, but what you also have to remember, too,
right.
is their upbringing and their actual surroundings.
Yes.
They were introduced into the music industry and scene at very young ages.
Yeah, through family usually, yeah.
And through their families. And and they understand what it takes in order to make those relationships. They understand, how it is that how you treat people across the board. The only backdraw that artists and newly fresh come out, man, they've got some fantastic music. They've not been taught etiquette. They've not been taught. I hate to say it like that, man.
Wash your hands after you blow your nose.
Whatever, I mean, it's kind of one of those.
Don't eat the last slice of pizza, bro.
Whatever. Don't swallow on the first date. I don't care how you went.
Oh, honey. Oh, my God. I've been doing it wrong all these years.
That's right. But no, I'm serious. We go back to the whole idea of artist development. It is needed, but I think the thing that's going to change for me is the idea of how that development happens. In other words, it's not going to rely specifically like for a label, for like an A&R person or for that one, artist development team. It's that was their job in order to pull a certain group through if they would work with them for X amount of albums. It'll wind up being these relationships that have been made. Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to send you over to Radio Memphis. Why? Because we want you to go and sit with Rick, or we want you to go to sit with Dee, or Joel, or whoever.
But it's like a 4-hour drive, man.
And you're going to have an interview, and it's going to be one of those things where
we've seen that happen, where they were like, I didn't know about all this until I got here, and my manager told me I had to be here.
Yeah, that has happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's special when it does. It's
awesome. But that's going to be and that's because said groups or said companies made a relationship with us, and they know that, hey, we're going to send you these guys because they've not done an interview or they've not done public speaking.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things I love about Radio Memphis,
mm-hmm.
is that not only was it meant to be the really kind of the running engine for the indie scene,
mm-hmm.
but we're the top second tier talent.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about top one tier. I'm talking top second tier. We're the minor leagues of music.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that because somebody in our library is about to hit it big.
Sure they are.
And I want them to be equipped with the ability to go, man, I did interviews. I knew how to handle myself on stage. I knew how to handle myself on
and
camera.
And the type of
that's cool.
And the type of development and the type of things that will happen, you know, when said groups and said companies, said labels, said recording, you know, engineers and stuff, and they all make, you know, friends and they go, hey, somebody's going to recommend to you, work with, you know, my buddies over here. You know, they normally do some lessons. You know, I understand you know how to play a guitar. I'm not saying you suck, but, you know, why don't you go and take some lessons?
Look at it this way. Tiger Woods has a swing coach. Serena Williams, one of the greatest tennis players of all time,
mm-hmm.
has a coach.
Absolutely.
Just because you're great at what you do doesn't mean you can't use a little bit of instruction from time to time.
You know, and that's going to be what's going to happen is that those responsibilities are not going to fall solely on one small group of people or one person.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually going to be a group, you know, it's going to be a community of people. That's how that's how the industry is going to start feeding itself.
It has to. You have to help somebody to help you up.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 40s and 50s when you had bands like the Glenn Miller Orchestra, you had Harry James,
right?
Tommy Dorsey, you had these big bands, which was really kind of the really early strange roots of rock and roll.
Sure.
These guys initially they thought of themselves as being competitors because of who was getting booked for what gig and selling what record for this, that, and the other. And it got down to the point where, like, wait a minute. We're not competing because we can all make a lot of money if we banded together, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and we played shows together,
mm-hmm.
and we got involved with live radio shows together and really mm-hmm. exposed ourselves. Because if somebody wants a Tommy Dorsey record, they could buy it. If they want the Glenn Miller record, they could buy it. But if they put them all together in one thing, they go, we can hear all of this and go, you know what? I'm a big, you know, Harry right. James fan, but now I also kind of like Glenn Miller. I think I'm going to buy that record too. That's where that really started to happen. And where the early, I can only imagine what it was like back in the 40s when you had these guys in radio going, they're trying to just make the broadcast work.
And they're trying to make it all hold
make
together.
It right. Because there was no stereo. It was just a couple of mics and away they went. And then they realized, go, man, this shit's pretty good.
Right.
We need to really work with them. And then RCA Victor started reaching out to the radio stations going, would you please help us,
because mm-hmm.
that's where it started. Mm-hmm. It was the labels that had reached the radio stations, because the radio stations had so much power.
Sure, they did.
Those days. Nowadays, it's the other way around. But
the tide's turning; it's flipping on that, though.
We may have a little more power.
That whole idea is flipping, you know,
yeah.
and you've got to remember that. Hence, why certain groups and certain entities and stuff have started to reach out, and do the dance and try to date, you know, that kind of stuff.
So what you're telling me is that Richard Branson of Virgin Records doesn't swallow on the first date, right? What you're saying?
I'm not saying anything about Virgin Records or Richard Branson, although maybe he's kind of cool. Maybe I'd like to meet him.
He is a cool cat. Elon Musk is cool. He should start a label. He could always produce cooking shows.
I can't quit showing me that.
I know, right?
You know, the question keeps coming up as far as if we were ever going to start one.
A cooking show?
No, a fucking label.
Because we could start a cooking show tonight if you wanted to.
This is how you make some fried rice.
As long as you've got a wok, a little bit of oil, you got some minced garlic, you got some soy sauce, you got some sugar, and you got some MSG, man, you can make anything.
See, there you go. Your first cooking show right here, courtesy of Radio Memphis. And it didn't cost you a goddamn penny.
And all you got to do is turn it on high, and that's it.
There,
roll.
There you go.
Hurry up, stir it, and get it on a plate. 2.8.
Awesome.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
I have to have some sort of hope for some type of society or humanity, and it's tough. Maybe you think the way that I do, but there are just so many people out there that the narcissism factor of our society is through the roof. And it's funny to me how people refuse to let go of the things that we've held so dear, even when they've become obsolete. If you make something so simple that a moron can figure it out, that moron won't figure it out. He'll turn around and figure out a way to fuck it up. And that's where it gets frustrating. And it's these people that I have to be nice to, because if I'm not, then I'm considered a bad guy. And it's not that I'm being an asshole. It's just I would like to say to some people what I really think.
apparently people frown on it when you tell somebody to go fuck themselves.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. You can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Player.fm, TuneIn, and Stitcher. You can also listen online and download past episodes at radio-memphis.com.
All right, kids, there you go for this episode of the old show here coming up. God, we did about an hour. How about that?
Imagine that.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome. I didn't realize it was going to go all that way.
Well, I didn't either. I mean, I knew there were some things I wanted to get into, but yeah, we started with one end and wound up going. I mean, you know, it is the death of the FM radio. We're seeing it. It's all but time now before Billboard magazine releases it. Hey, any of you kids that work for Billboard, go ahead and write the article about the death of FM radio, and let me know. I'd love to sign a copy of it.
Wow.
Yeah, I would love to sign a copy of
and
be a part of it. Because I'd like to be one of the people that get to drive one of the nails into the coffin of that fucking irresponsible business.
Damn.
It is. It's irresponsible.
I'm all right.
They don't care about their artists. They never have. They never will.
No.
And that's all there is to it. Thanks for being a part of it. Of course, there's the Periscope thing Tuesdays and Thursdays that I do. The cocktail hour. It's just kind of groovy.
Yeah, I caught that.
Yeah. This show is available. The podcast is available if you're new to the thing on iTunes, Stitcher, Player.fm, Podbean.com. Also, you can find it at Blogspot, rickcheddar.blogspot.com, and, of course, the real home of all of this, radio-memphis.com.
I swallowed.
That's it. That's all I got to say. We're out of here. Take care of yourselves and take care of one another. We'll see you next time. This is Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more audio on demand, go to radio-memphis.com.